Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
Just tuned in to Divine Mind Tribe Radio here on LATalkRadio.com, world's most listened to internet talk radio station. I'm your host Dave, and this is the show where we talk about anything and everything to assist you in raising your vibe. Frequency to assist you in living a life that is filled with happiness, joy, laughter, abundance, freedoms, prosperity of all kinds, not just monetarily, energetically, physically, mentally, psychologically, and everything in between. As you guys know, if you've been listening to the show for a while, I'd like to welcome my dear brother, Colin. Brother Colin, live on the air with us. How you doing, man?
Hi. I'm so good today. How are you doing?
So good, brother. I love your responses. We love you. I love you. As you know, for those of you that are first-time listeners for Divine Mind Tribe Radio, if you guys listen to the previous archives, you will see Colin has been with us here at Divine Mind Tribe Radio way before it was Divine Mind Tribe Radio. And he has been, he is more than a brother. We're family, we are a tribe. And when I say tribe, you know, we're at this, the current status of the global situation and the circumstances that are that have presented themselves, it's offering up the potential for new ways of living, new lifestyles, embracing possibly certain ways of life that you didn't necessarily may or may have not even thought about embracing before. Self-sustainability is obviously a big one. Understanding economy on a basic level using this wealth transfer that we're going through right now, that's a biggie too. But you know, Colin's been with me personally through my ride of the human experience for quite some time now, going well over 15 years or so. So thank you, dear brother, for taking your Sunday and chatting with us and sharing with us the profound wisdom that you have and that you have bestowed so humbly upon me, and some of the stuff we're going to be talking about today. So the reason why I love shows with Colin is because Colin has a wonderful way, dear brother Colin, has a wonderful way of explaining some of the possibilities that we as human beings on this planet at this time have at our accessibility, but just might be unaware of. So one of the things I actually wanted to talk about today and touch on, just to bring awareness. Now, this is something that fascinated me and has fascinated me for quite some time. And now that we're in an age where, you know, the economic cycle is moving into a new stratosphere, if you will. It's expanding. With that comes an entirely new set of potentials and alternatives for the old paradigm, you know, to be replaced by new potentiality. So what am I saying? What do I mean by that? Well, Colin, if you wouldn't mind going a little bit deeper in explanation, could you share with listeners what power? Okay, so for those of you that are listening to the show, you know that we talk about how, you know, America is set up like a corporation. America is a corporation. The United States of America is literally a corporation, and the people are its product, right? A couple shows ago, a couple weeks ago, we were talking about a human futures contract, which Colin touched base on. He explained what that was. Now what we're going to be talking about briefly is, well, briefly is possibly the whole show. No. Money orders, these U.S. money orders, the postal from the post office, U.S. Postal money orders. Okay.
U.S. Yeah.
Now, postal Colin.
Order. Yeah.
That's what's so the USPS postal money orders.
Okay,
what?
So the okay. Does have,
now,
so the reason those have so much
yeah,
power. I know where you're getting at.
Beautiful. Yeah, baby.
The reason those have so much power is because, so the USPS is the post office. It is part of the executive branch. So the only two parts of the executive branch are the president and the USPS, the post office. So they are like free from pretty much every other kind. Like they're free from Congress. They're free from like any other parts of the government. And so the significance of that is that they're actually the only part of the government that isn't solvent. So what solvent means is that they're the only part of the government that is not in debt. And like the rest of the government is so in debt, like hundreds of trillions of dollars in debt. And so the USPS has been around so long. They've been around since, you know, the creation of America. And so what the significance of that is they have massive gold reserves. Like probably, I can't honestly say that they have more than anyone else in the world, but I would honestly argue that point. I don't know. So the significance of that is that the USPS money orders, when you buy one, it becomes like a check, and the check essentially becomes backed by gold instantly when you do that. So that is huge, because when something is backed by gold, it is no longer a normal currency. So, like, the way that our dollar works is kind of convoluted. So in 1933, the U.S. government basically had this time period. I think it was like 2 months. It was not very long. And what happened in those 2 months was the government was like, hey, anybody want to like drop off their gold and we'll give you some IOUs?
Yep.
We'll give you a little extra for your gold because you're helping us out. But what that did, what that did was essentially create our whole currency, because it's basically our whole currency is being borrowed off of the gold that whoever in 1933 was able to, you know, like trade their gold for IOUs. Our whole currency is based off that. And so the significance of that is that that all of our money, all of our, if you have a $100 bill, it means nothing except for the government owes you $100. And
that's right.
And so what that means is basically when you get a USPS money order, it is backed by gold, and that makes it a security. So it is different than money. That is so significant. So I'll repeat that. It is a security. And a security is anything from mortgage-like packages or, like, giant stock portfolios. There's gold property, like, anything that is tangible-ish, you know, like, something that is real. And so what that does is you can utilize USPS money orders to you can utilize security, which is that's the easiest way to get a security. Basically, you could go buy a dollar USPS money order. So like there's pretty much no cheaper security out there.
Right.
Like you can go buy Anyway, so what that does is the government recognizes the USPS money orders as backed by gold, and they recognize it as real money. So I'm going to repeat that, real money, because it's not the IOU that the government owes you. And so
that's right.
And so it is a much more tangible thing for them. And why that is significant is because our money is so fake that the government would rather have $10 backed by gold than $100,000 of fake monopoly money that they create.
Exactly.
And why that's so significant is, say you have $20,000 in debt. If you have $20,000 in debt, we could take a $5, maybe $12 USPS money order and go, hey, government, we recognize this debt as, like, basically IOUs. And in exchange for your, like, fake IOU debt, we're going to give you this security where you can trade the security as you please and you can make a lot of money. And so, and the government pretty much, if you, it's about the way you write the document, obviously, but, like, we as people have the power to essentially exchange these securities for our debt, because our debt is fake. Like, I don't know if you know, but when you go to a debt collection agency, right? Or not go, when you have debt collection agency, like, kind of like confronting,
trying to contact you.
To contact you and stuff. Most of that time, that debt is no longer owned by the original debtor, and so you never went to that credit agency and went, hey, can I borrow money? You never had a contract with that debt collection agency ever. Like, you never signed
that's
a paper.
Right.
Nothing that holds you accountable to that debt. The only thing that holds that you accountable is them annoying you, basically.
And so
all debt collection agencies are public companies. And so the significance of that is that with a public company, the CEO and the CFO and just various, like, heads of the company are kind of are public figures. So you could go look up any of the credit agencies. You can look up their personal or, you know, their business information, and you can contact them directly. So what you do is you essentially go, hey, let's call her Trisha. I'm just choosing a random name. Trisha, hey.
Yeah, yeah.
I know
absolutely.
That you're $20,000 in debt, or I know that, like, this debt, you think this debt exists, but I have this USPS money order and it's a security, and I'd like to trade this security for my fake debt that I don't really owe you this debt. So this is kind of a kindness on my part. Like, the fact that I'm even giving $10 is, like, a kindness, basically.
That's right.
And
this
that's
is
why
a courtesy.
Yeah.
So, yeah, wow. No, man, you did a phenomenal job at explaining that. So essentially, if we were to swap the fiat USD, right, and for those of you that are not familiar with fiat currency, is fiat means faith-based. So any currency that's based off of faith, anything, I mean, everything is faith-based, right? Anything that, even gold, right? Outside definitely have industrial and commercial uses. Paper, especially when it's an IOU, and at this point, with the massive amount of overprinting and overinflation, you know, there's saying this is the Great Recession, Great Depression, whatever you want to call it, especially 2.0 Great Recession, whatever you want to call it, it's a wealth transfer, right? There's massive amounts of purchasing power. Transfers from one asset class to another. Understanding this concept is what Colin just explained. So if we understand, we can take this fiat, this faith,
I owe you money, and just prove that it's an IOU. For those of you that might not be understanding why we're saying cash is an IOU, $100 bill, $20 bill, $30 bill, whatever, $2 bill, $1 bill, $5 bill, and everything in between. Paper is an IOU because actually, if you were to see any paper money that was circulating before the year 1973 when Nixon took us off the gold standard, you would see that it actually says, for example, I have what's called a silver certificate, and I have a couple of silver certificates that say $1 worth of silver is payable to the bearer on demand, meaning if I were to bring my $1 into the bank before Nixon took us off the gold standard, the bank would have to essentially exchange me whatever, you know, $1 worth of silver would be. That's the concept. Now, the fact that Nixon took us off, and the fact that the only two executive branches, as Colin had mentioned, is presidency and post office. That means that these two executive branches are the two most protected, if you will. What I mean by protected is they don't abide by the common man's law. They have their own set of rules. So if you put yourself in the category of using your fiat money to then buy real money via USPS money orders, understand the language offering in Divine Mind Tribe's matrix, right? We are in the process of building our website. It's multifaceted, many, many layers to it. So the reason why I also want to drop this bomb on you guys is this bomb of butterflies and freedom units, is because we want to let you know that we, you know, between Colin and myself, we will absolutely be able to offer this service as, you know, a form of assisting people in getting out of debt, because that's what we know people that do this and know the end of how this system works, and it's invaluable sink of information. So, like, if you guys have any questions, you want to get a little bit deeper, we can absolutely do that. Obviously, we're going to be talking about more stuff as today's show goes on. If you just tuned in, we're talking about how to get smart with by using the current status of the economy to your benefit. Look at this. An opportunity, not like anything's being taken away from you, but actually things have opened up for you to allow certain experiences and those plateaus of freedom and creative expression that maybe you didn't have before. So that's what we're talking about. Feel free to DM us on the Instagram at Divine Mind Tribe. Once again, just bill at divine.mind.tribe. You can also email us at divinemindtribeofficial@gmail.com. If you guys also want to check out our new business, which is directly connected to Divine Mind Tribe, this is like a little soft launch for you guys. For whoever's out there listening, you want to check it out, take it for a little test spin, you can do so. NFTads.io, and talk much about it. This state branch some things that Cole and I are focusing on offering to you, and we go where our heart takes us. We listen to the sound of so with this swapping you can also do some wild things. We were speaking, you're explaining to me you could go as far as mortgage, like a mortgage. Colin.
Oh, yeah.
Are you still
so,
connected with your breath?
I was a little confused. But you're saying you're asking if you can write off a mortgage. It's totally possible because mortgages are also the same kind of debt. So when you, if someone, when you get a loan, let's say $300,000 just for ease of, if you get a loan for $300,000,
relatability and. Perfect.
Yeah, yeah. So, like, let's say you get a loan for $300,000. The bank doesn't go, okay, we're gonna debit. It doesn't ever debit from anywhere. Like, the bank doesn't go, hey, we have $300,000. We're going to give that to you to do this loan. No. What happens is the bank is able to essentially create a security of some kind where the security says...
A mortgage-backed security.
It's a mortgage. Yeah, exactly. But what happens is that the money is created in that moment. When you sign that paper, that money is created. That $300,000 came out of nowhere.
Poof.
It didn't get debited. It didn't get taken from anywhere. Nobody was like, nobody's missing that $300,000. It just got created in that moment. That's kind of the problem with our government. So the significance of that is your mortgage is also just fake money. And so you can fight it with securities, not fight it, but you know what I mean. You can write it off. You can essentially do the same thing describing with other debt. It's a little more complicated just because you did sign a paper. But in the same sense, even though you did sign a paper, it doesn't really matter because you can still offer them a little more security, like, hey, instead of $12 for $20,000, I give you $100 for my $100,000. Like you give a little more security, but at the same time, you're just able to like let it go, and
that's
essentially
right.
All the contract that you had to pay back that fake money because you don't owe that fake money. That fake money is actually owed to you in some sense because you're an American citizen.
It is.
As an American citizen, the government owes you money. They're borrowing all the money that they have. They're borrowing from us.
That's right.
Yep.
Beautifully said.
Yeah, yeah. That's it. Go on.
No. Keep on going, brother. No. Just have that sink in, listeners. All of the money that is used in circulation is borrowed by is literally it's your money. So, for those of you out there that might struggle with your relationship to being living on the lifestyle, this is about understanding that. I mean, just assisting you, of course, to assist you in you're way more valuable than the commercials have told you. The commercials, if you will, metaphorically speaking, commercials being a metaphor, being a variable for anything or anything. That dehumanizes you as a person. What I mean by that is, every commercial for anything basically tells you, you're good enough that you have the product. Well, unlike commercials, we are trying to tell you that you are actually infinitely more valuable than you possibly that is so valuable that you do have a birthright to express yourself to the degree through which you believe you deserve to express yourself. So if you rewire your relationship with financial freedom by practicing new financial habits, that will inevitably rewire your relationship and allow that steady stream of passive or semi-passive income to start, flowing. I'm going to drop this Touch on this very briefly. I know I've talked about this quite a bit. Understand the concept of wealth transfer. It assists you in understanding the value of the information system that comes look at your setup, writing it up with USPS money orders. Look into some research. Look into whatever you are passionate about. So here's the thing about and specifically what the universe has done and what Hogan has done and stuff like that. A lot of people on the bike frenzy, people putting on their books. Let's get passionate about that. Okay. You wanted to have a picture of you wanted to organize that picture and ask Sarah about the mix. You if you think about that, hey, it's just tough. Obviously, what I'm trying to get at is anything and everything that you're passionate about, we don't have a serviceable platform to assist you in assigning a value, assigning a real value to whatever it is that you are passionate about. And there's a multitude of ways to do it. Just the list is on and on and on. And that goes for digital assets, hard assets. If you go to DC 11, it offers this loss. Pool funds for not digital, but hard assets, what we're talking about, real estate, hundreds of millions, billions of dollars worth of real estate. So there is no limit to what is possible if you allow yourself the gift of opening up and opening yourself up to the potential of what you could learn. Education is a blessing. Educate yourself in the things that you're passionate about, and you'll never go a day in your life where you feel completely out of control because you have the information that you need to stay steady and you change with the tide, right? Change is a beautiful thing. Change is the constant. We must find it to be a blessing. It's not something to be afraid of. It's something to embrace. Colin, my dear brother, I want to open the mic up and say you always have really profound experiences and you always have profound wisdom. Outside of just talking about, obviously the devaluation of fiat currency and the absorption of purchasing power when it comes to, you know, digital assets, cryptocurrencies, NFTs, not just that, but anything else that you want to open the platform up to for people to chew on, if you will, metaphorically speaking, food for thought, food for thought. Was there anything that you wanted to go off of that, or did you want to move on to our next topic for the day?
No, I would like to add one thing, and
that I love.
The one thing I'd like to add is that it's a little convoluted, but most people think that the name that's on their driver's license is them, but
yeah,
realize that that's not you. It's a company that represents you, and so you are not your name. And I know people like really identify with their names, and they like that's their whole identity is their names, because that's what their house is bought under. That's what all of their commodities are based on this name that we've been bestowed upon us at birth.
Right.
Most people don't realize that name is not them. And what is actually you is your flesh and blood. That's the only thing that's you. You are your body. You are your body. You are not your name. Your name is a shadow corporation that exists kind of like surrounding you in a sense.
That's right.
And so it controls your life in some way. It controls your life by basically indebting you to the government. Like, basically, you're a commodity.
That's right.
I'll go into... This isn't even a conspiracy theory. This is, like, real life.
That's right. The government... No, totally.
So when you're born, your birth certificate is registered at a office. And you get a birth certificate, right? Your birth certificate is actually not... The one that you have is a copy. The reason that's significant is because it's a copy, and your original is at the Social Security office. And what they do with that original birth certificate, is essentially like an ownership, like a bill of rights. And what they do with that birth certificate is they trade it on the open market. Actually find these stocks. You could go buy people, like, essentially, if you wanted to, if you know how to do it, you could go buy securities, which are bundles of people. But it's actually not people, it's the name. It's not actually there. It's the company, the shadow company that exists around the
entity, the person, please go on.
No, yeah, it's just the shadow company that exists around that, you. And so you are not that.
That's right.
You are not that, and you will never be that, but you identify that way. And, like, you can basically get the same thing that you want. You could choose a name. Let's say my new name is Hello, I'm Colin. Okay? That's not my real name. But that's my full name now, and it's a corporation I created. It's an LLC, and I'm the sole proprietor of it. Sole proprietor. And
what name do you put as the sole proprietor? Do you put the driver's license name as the sole proprietor?
No. I'm saying you could put whatever name you could put. I'm done with this. I hate the government. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what the corporation name is. You can create any corporation name you want.
Right. But a question. Please go on. I'll ask after.
No, go on. What's the question?
No. This just crossed my mind briefly. So I love this. I'm passionate about chatting with this kind of stuff. So in the creation of, so let's say that you go to protect your name and you LLC your name, the sole proprietor. So let's just say that the owner, if you will, of the corporation that you're making to protect your name, do you put the name down that's on your driver's license, or do you put a different name, or do you write your name differently? Do you know what I mean?
I think you're missing the point. So your name, your name that's on your driver's license, you're borrowing that from the government. Like, it's not actually in your control. Like, you have a lot of control over your name. You can take out loans, you can use your signature, you have rights, but you're kind of sharing that with the government in some way.
That's right.
Like it,
that's right.
It's kind of like you're not a sole proprietor of your own name. You're sharing that corporation with the government.
And that's right.
So I guess what I was trying to say is, as an alternative, you could exist under any name, which could be anything. Hi, I'm Colin. That's my corporation name. I literally do everything that I would do with my normal name under that name. And
wow.
The only reason that we would ever need our names is if you drive. If you drive, you need your
name. That's right.
Because you have a driver's license, and when, or any vehicle, actually, basically anything that you have registration where, and like you have a way of, basically if you register it, then you are kind of like that. You, when you're driving, you have to be your name. That's the only time you cannot be sovereign, because
right.
What that means is, like, when you're in your car, when you're driving in your car, it's essentially like, yes, I am my corporation. I take responsibility for this registration car that is registered to my personal name. But once you step out of the car, once that car is off, you are free from that name. You don't.
That's
you
can, right.
You could do literally almost everything else existing under that fake corporation. Hi, I'm Colin. Like whatever.
Wow.
You want. It doesn't really matter. I don't think you can use cuss words in corporation name, but you can use any other.
Just for those of you out there that were wanting to have shit fuck as your name. No, I'm totally joking. We're not regulated by the FCC. We can say whatever we want.
That's
amazing.
We just need to separate ourselves from our names, because our names are slavery. Like we are slaves. It's not, we're not really slaves to the government. The corporation is the slave to the government, the name.
That's right.
And
that's right.
As our sovereign bodies are not like obliged to kind of like work with the government at all. But
that's right.
It's a little difficult to get around. Like you do need to be responsible in the sense where you need to, like if you're going to drive around, you need to be able to have your name and you need to be able to have that clear. But anything else, you're free. You can, a corporation can easily buy a house. A corporation can easily get a loan for anything. And a corporation, you can do anything. You could own your car.
You could set up a trust through a corporation. That's right. And you literally can build. And that's actually what most, you know, successful business owners, entrepreneurs, especially nonprofit, you know, owners of 501c3s, nonprofits, what they do is, you know, they pretty much have everything under the company. So it's a write-off, and it is their name, right? One of the corporations is their name. And actually, Brother Colin, something kind of like fascinating, something new and different. Colin was the one that taught me this. I value all the information that you share with us, brother. It's truly, truly beyond fascinating, and I am beyond grateful for this information, as I am truly passionate about applying this to my life and assisting as many people as possible that see it the way that we do, and, you know, setting it up for them, for themselves as well. And in concert with that, if you will, or in harmony.
Sorry about that, guys. I had a brief hiccup with my headphones. Technical difficulty. Give me one sec. Colin, you could just sovereign.
I'm here.
Yeah, Colin, feel free to
some technical difficulties with my headphones. I am just in the process of getting other headphones. In the meantime, Colin, would you mind going on about a sovereign name, about how could you possibly go into the human futures just for one or 2 minutes as I just grab my new set of headphones? Let our listeners know what these human futures mean. What is a human future? What does that mean? Do you know?
Okay, yeah. So essentially, because we are commodities, we are traded on the open market. Our social security numbers are EIN numbers, if you please. The significance of having an EIN number in business is that's what you use to sign up for loans and stuff, but that's what you use your social security number for. And so when the government kind of created this system, they kind of basically they treat us as like chattel, and the significance of chattel is like cattle that is a commodity. So like when farmers,
right,
like there's farmers that own 100 cows, but then there's people that trade 100 cows on the open market. And they still kind of own the 100 cows, but they're not like, they don't own them. They don't take care of them. They just own the rights to those cows. So the government does that to us and trades us on the open market. You can actually find the stocks online. You could go and buy human futures in America. A lot of other governments are not set up this way. So we are one of the most convoluted government systems, anything that is stemmed from the from England. So there's a lot of countries in the world that are stemmed from England. So Australia, England, like the whole, you know, everything over there is kind of set up similar.
Right.
Yeah. No. Like anything that the English took over, that's where this is how this got set up. And so as futures, like your name is owned by something else. Like, I don't know, that to me, that's like one of the biggest turnoffs ever. I don't want to use my name because my name is literally owned by someone. I'm borrowing it to like live a life, but I'm my real life is my own body. I don't really exist under that name. Like, there's not very many things besides driving that I need that for. And so
that's right.
So like any other time I'm doing anything besides driving, I'm free. I'm just my flesh and blood. Here's the real crux. Your name is what adheres you to laws. So
your
flesh and blood, there's only a few laws for your flesh and blood. In a gist, this is a pretty like wide range, but you can't hurt anyone and you can't steal anything. So whatever that means for you, like you can't physically hurt anyone and you can't steal anything from anyone else, whether it's a corporation, whatever. In those two instances, your body can commit a law. I mean, commit a crime. Other than that, like every drug law, every real estate law, everything that exists in this world, everything you can get arrested for besides those two things are essentially fall under your name. And so when you get pulled over in the car, the first thing they ask you is for your name. So when you identify with your name, then they have power over your corporation. Now, you can't not do it when you drive. So like you have to say your name when you drive because you have to identify that way. But on the street, if a cop came up to me and asked for my name, like, I would basically say, no, I'm just my flesh and blood. Like, I don't identify with my name. I can do that when I'm walking around. I can't do that when I'm driving, but I can do that when I'm walking around. And as long as I'm walking around and not hurting anybody and not stealing anything, there's nothing.
Right.
Like, the police officers can annoy you, but they can't do anything until you give them your name. Once you give them your name, they have almost infinite power over you because you are now identifying with that corporation, and you can now commit crimes that fall under that name. which is drug laws.
Good.
So, yeah, and so the reason a lot of people are in prison for drugs is because they identified with their name in the moment they were arrested. If, for example, you get caught with a gram of whatever.
You get caught with a gram of whatever
and they find it on you and you don't identify with your name, they can lock you up for, I think, 72 hours. They can lock your body up for 72 hours. And then if you still don't identify with their name, there's literally nothing they can do because there's nothing they can, like, put the crime on. So, like,
wow.
They can't hold you for very long. They can only hold your body for a little bit, which is still annoying. I don't suggest getting arrested and doing this.
Yes, indeed.
but in the sense where you can essentially just say, I'm free. Like, I don't adhere to your law. I'm just me. Like, I'm just me, and me holding this gram is not illegal because I'm not that corporation. The corporation is what makes it illegal. And so as long as we can distance ourselves from that corporation, which you can't do entirely, but you can do almost entirely, that's the safest we can be. And a lot of people think it's crazy because, like, there's a lot of YouTube videos of people thinking they're sovereign while they're driving. And it's like the only time that I see videos of, like, people criticizing this, because most people that know about this sovereignty don't realize that driving, you have to be your name. You can't not be your name. So, like, most of the YouTube videos, people, like, ranting on this stuff is people getting pulled over and then trying to be sovereign. It doesn't work. But most people that actually know about this, that actually
understand that
when you're driving, you have to be sober. You have to, like, you have to be right in the mind. You can't be drunk. You can't be any of these things, because that's when the government can fuck you over or mess with you
fuck you over. Totally. Yeah. Oh my! And you know, I actually found something when I was doing my own research on this about a month ago, when you had opened this up to me 2 months ago, maybe. I'm driving, and apparently voting. Apparently, when you participating in the act of voting, although it's an anonymous action, apparently if somebody were to ask, like, it was just hypothetically speaking, say that, like, you were to have some sort of deciding factor in a vote that is that's outside of just, like, class president, something that's, like, you know, anything that I guess along with driving, I think when I was reading this blog, and it said something about voting as well, but I don't, not that I
yeah, no, that makes sense, because I didn't even register that, but for sure the corporation is what's voting for you, because that's what stuck to the government in some sense, like that, like, it's your corporation that's actually voting.
It's actually voting.
Yeah, so you have some say because you have that name, which is your corporation, but just, you're not that. I'm not Colin. Like, I am,
That's personally right.
Like, but I don't need to identify with my whole name. So, right. Since we go soon, I would like people to do some research. This is just a gist. I'll do 2 minutes.
We're at 150. Oh, we've got about 30 seconds, brother. No.
Okay.
This is important information. Hey, guys, get your pen and paper out. When Colin gives you some information, you want to write it down. I'll tell you that.
Okay, well, there's three types of English, or there's a little more than that, but there's three main types of English. What I am speaking to this radio right now is considered gibberish. We exist with like vague syntax and stuff. So the way that I talk is just based on the way that my mind is working, and it's just vague, and I could say anything and somebody can interpret it whatever way they want. Then there's legalese, which is what all the mortgages are written in and everything, which is still very vague. So when you have a legal document, they can write it in such a way that it means five different things. And so,
right.
That, yeah. And so the realist form of English is called parse, P-A-R-S-E, syntax, S-Y-N-T-A-X, sorry, with an N. Parse syntax grammar. Parse syntax grammar is essentially English stripped of all of the things that are in the middle of English. So, like, I would essentially, like, if I wanted a hot dog, I would just say hot dog. Like, hot dog.
Right.
I would literally just, like, it would literally be, it's not like I want a hot dog. It's like just hot dog,
hot dog
to me. Yeah. Right. So you're removing all of the vagueness. And that is the sovereign language of the world, the quantum English or the parse syntax grammar. Parse syntax grammar is the English of sovereignty. And so you can look it up. There's it's on the .gov website. Like it's this is how the government is set up, through quantum English or parse syntax grammar. So yeah, that's all I had to say.
Quantum English, parse syntax grammar. Wow. Guys, you're going to want to re-listen to the show. If you didn't get all the information down that you wanted to, it will be available in the archives in just a couple minutes. Colin, my dear, beloved brother, I want to not only send you and your loved ones all the unconditional love and light beaming from my heart and gratitude. You truly are the best, bro. Thank you so much for spending your Sunday afternoon with us and sharing with us your profound wisdom and inspiring information. We're going to keep on seeking truth, brother, and keep offering it to the masses. Indeed, that's what this is all about. And yeah, man, I love you so much, Colin. Thank you dearly, brother, for being on the show. You are the best.
I hope everyone has a wonderful day and find what makes them happy.
Yes. Two thumbs up to all the unconditional love, light, happiness, abundance, joy, and lives to yours, guys. I'm your host, Dave. Thank you, dear brother Colin, for sharing this show with me today. And every Sunday at 1 p.m. PST, Divine Mind Tribe Radio. Love you guys so much, and we will see you next Sunday. Make sure to check us out on Instagram and Facebook at Divine Mind Tribe. Love you dearly. Peace.
Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.